Welcome back to the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. My name is Barry Odell, and I am your host. Fulton County Gospel News is a bi-monthly publication of The Church of Christ in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. And if you'd like to learn more about our paper, just visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com, and there you can find all the information you'll need. You can get the paper as a PDF in your email or as a hard copy through the United States Postal Service. Let us know what we can do for you, and we'll be happy to add you to one of our mailing lists. Also, if you've not yet subscribed to our Podbean channel, go to podbean.com and subscribe to Fulton County Gospel News. You can do the same thing with a free app download from your app store on your smartphone. Download the Podbean app for free, search for Fulton County Gospel News, and then you can become a follower. Today I want to read an article to you from the February 1984 edition of Fulton County Gospel News, and this is a very unique article. The title is, I Did Not Marry a Christian, and the name was withheld intentionally. This letter, which is really what it is, this letter to the paper in 1984 was actually a response to a previous article that had been written, and it's very insightful, so I'm going to read it to you, and we may have some comment when at the end of the article. Several months ago, an article appeared entitled, I Married a Christian. I read the article with great interest, and it drove home some very sobering thoughts. As I read the article, I could not help but think of what a contrast my own life was, for you see, I didn't marry a Christian. No one told me of the unhappiness I was due in marrying a non-Christian. At the time I married, my parents were not faithful, and consequently, neither was I. I can't put the responsibility for my actions on them. I was 18 years old and knew what the Bible taught on marriage. Now, after having lived with a non-Christian for almost 10 years, I have been made aware of how important it is for our young people to marry Christians. These 10 years have not made me an expert on the subject, but they have made me realize that I should try to teach and or discourage others from making the same mistake. When I fell in love with my husband, I could not think about those things that could lay ahead. The only thing I knew was that I loved him with all my heart, and that no one knew or had experienced this kind of love. Ours was different, I felt. There was nothing that could ever come between us that we could not overcome. The love that we had for each other would always be there. After we were married, I was soon to realize how our attitudes and thinking varied. We rented a small apartment and were soon entertaining other non-Christians in our home. The drinking and dancing were all a part of the things I had been taught to abhor. And yet right there, in the midst of my home, I was consenting to and becoming a part of things that a Christian had no business doing. I was getting further and further away from the church. I knew what I should be doing as a Christian, and yet I was doing nothing to change. We were happy by most people's standards, but I was miserable. I knew my husband did not share my love for the truth, and he was not serious-minded about things like that. I loved him so much, and I was learning a hard, cold fact, that love was not enough. I wanted to return to my first love. We talked about my return to the church, and I realized another fact. He had no intention of going with me, in spite of his promises before marriage, that he would. I decided to wait about returning and try to work things out as best I could. In the meantime, we found out we were expecting our first child. I was elated. I also was made aware of the creation of God within me. I was soon to become a mother and have a life truly influenced by me. I was going to get my heart right with God again. I repented of my sins and started trying to live the life I wanted to live. It was hard. First, because I had no encouragement from my husband. Secondly, we still had all our non-Christian friends in and out. My Christian friends from church came by, but not too often because my husband openly did not like them. I loved them and wanted them in my home. I needed them. Somewhere about this time was when the hostility began. I was seeing and hearing a different guy from that wonderful guy I married. There was a wall building between us. We both could sense something changing, but didn't know how to handle it. Where was the love that was going to make all this right? Out of love for my husband, I again stopped attending church. I did not attend for months. I was miserable inside again. After the birth of our daughter, I wanted to get started back to church. My husband's answer was no. He wanted me to start going to church with him where he went as a child, a denominational church that did not follow God's word. We really had problems there. I knew the error that they taught, and I could not worship there. He insisted. I resisted. I then began to try to teach him the truth. He resisted. The next few years were good sometimes, bad sometimes. I was faithful for a while and then unfaithful for a while. When my faithfulness began to put a strain on my marriage, I would slack off and become unfaithful. My husband became jealous of the church and my time there. He could see no reason for attending every service. We began to have verbal fights every time I started getting ready for a church service. He would say mean and cruel things about the church and about people there. We were constantly going at each other about church and related things. Before long, the strain was showing in everything. We fought about money, church, drinking friends, drinking, church, how to handle our daughter, church. The list could go on and on. Here again, I stopped attending church. 3.5 years ago, I repented again and started to live the Christian life. I thank God that He spared my life and let me live long enough to get back. There is no turning back for me now. We have 3 children now, and I want more than anything to have a Christian home for them. This presents another problem. My husband and I do not agree on how to bring up the children. I say one thing, he says another. We are both pulling in different directions. He approves of daughters in swimsuits, shorts, etc. I disapprove. I believe in teaching them to put God first in their life and to be faithful. He still can see no reason to attend every service and openly overrides me when I insist the children go. Where was the love that was going to work all this out? Our marriage has deteriorated greatly over these last few years. This church problem, as my husband puts it, has moved into every aspect of our marriage. We find ourselves fighting over simple things. We both keep things bottled up inside and find that we can't talk things out anymore. I am ill with the children much too often. I know it's because things are not right between my husband and myself. There are periods of time that my husband chooses to sleep on the couch in the den, not because I want him to, but seemingly as a form of punishment to me. My marriage has reached a disastrous point. My husband has given an ultimatum. I have to make a choice, him or the church. Those of you who are Christians know what a rough decision I had. I, of course, have chosen the Lord. I still love my husband with all my heart and have prayed to God that he would open his heart to understand the truth. I know I have to remain faithful and do what God has commanded me to do. It looks so dark sometimes, and yet I have to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. I'm so weary from being torn between my husband and the Lord. My husband and I both realize that we made a mistake. He has said many times that if he had to do it over, that he would never have married me. This hurts, but I must confess I wouldn't either. Most couples we know where a Christian is married to a non-Christian say the same thing. Don't do it. So many times the one who is not a Christian pulls the Christian away. In a survey I read not long ago, based on 49 mixed marriages, 29 left the Lord and 21 remained faithful. Of the faithful, only 9 converted their companions. 12 have not converted their companions. Another survey stated that 25% of those who contract a mixed marriage leave the church altogether. That is frightening. To our young people, I'd like to say that God frowns on mixed marriages. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15 teaches that we are not to become unequally yoked together. The damage done is not just to yourself, but to your husband or wife, and then to your children. I know that my husband and I have not had the marriage God intended. We will always be 2 instead of 1 in soul and in spirit. Love is wonderful, but marriage consists of everyday living together. There are enough things to contend with as newlyweds without adding a mixed marriage to the list. My prayer is that this article may in some way make our young people or anyone planning to marry a Christian. I can't do mine over again, but I can teach my children and others how important it is to marry a Christian and to make that home the kind the Lord intended for it to be. So that's the end of that letter. And I'll tell you, man, that is emotional. That is, it's like almost you can hear the emotion in her voice as she's writing. But she realizes, and it's amazing to me that even her husband says, this is a mistake. And like I said, this article's from 1984, but this still happens. Now, I do want to say something about 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I know a lot of people try to apply that to marriage, but that passage is not talking about marriage, and it cannot be applied to marriage. So let me show you why that's the case. So 2 Corinthians 6:14, here's what it says. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then it goes through a list of different concepts for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and etc. It goes all the way down through verse 16. But then he says this, and this is why we know this is not talking about marriage, and it can't be applied to marriage. Because 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, here's the solution if you do become unequally yoked with an unbeliever. The solution's in verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. So if this is talking about a Christian married to a non-Christian, what you would have Paul saying is, okay, you guys need to divorce. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, I'm going to take my Bible back just a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because Paul addresses this subject in this very chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and listen to beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 7:12. But to the rest I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe. Okay, so here you go. A Christian married to a non-Christian. Listen to what he says. And she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe. So this would be the precise scenario of this article. A woman who has a husband who does not believe. If she is willing to live with him, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. What that's talking about, that has nothing to do with their spiritual condition. God's marriage law applies to Christian and non-Christian alike. And what 1 Corinthians 7:14 is saying is, if you are a Christian, but you're married to a non-Christian, you're set apart for each other. That's all that word sanctified means. And then he goes on to say in verse 15, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. Well, again, that's in the context of verse 11. Okay, even if they do depart, then they are to remain unmarried or be reconciled. Okay, that's it. So 2 Corinthians 6:14, and I know the author, the writer of this letter, used that passage, but we need to understand 2 Corinthians 6:14 is not about marriage. Now, having said that, let me also say this. It is never wise for a Christian to marry a non-Christian. And you remember in her letter, she even hinted at the idea that before they got married, you know, he had made promises that, you know, he would become a Christian. Well, you don't want to put yourself in that situation. Okay, now this person has taken some kind of oath. Okay, if you marry me, I'll start going to church with you. I'll become a Christian. No, that's not going to cut it. A person's conversion to Christ should have nothing to do with a potential mate in marriage. It's an individual responsibility that they have to make, that they have to decide for themselves without a consideration of, okay, I'm going to marry this girl and she goes to church. You know what? Maybe I should go to church with her. That's not conversion to Christ. So we need to be careful with how we apply Scripture, and like many do with 2 Corinthians 6, how we misapply Scripture and take the Word of God for what it says. So in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul deals in part of that chapter with a believer married to a non-believer, and he doesn't tell them to divorce. 1 Peter 3 does the same thing. You read 1 Peter 3 in the first 6 verses, and it talks about, again, a believing woman who's been married to a non-believing man and how she is to conduct herself. The solution is not come out from among them and be separate, which, again, is what 2 Corinthians 6:17 means. So for those who say that it's a sin for a Christian to marry a non-Christian, you need to change what you're saying, because it's not. Is it wise? Is it wise for a Christian to marry a non-Christian? Absolutely not. And we have, you know, this personal testimony from nearly 40 years ago from this lady who wrote this letter. And I can't tell you how many times I have run into this scenario in 25 plus years of preaching. It happens way too often. You know, in marriage ceremonies, one of the things that the minister will say, it'll be something along the lines of, you know, marriage is something that is, you know, highly esteemed in the eyes of God, and it's not something that you enter into lightly. So many people have this misguided conception of marriage and love that, well, and as she wrote in her letter, you know, our love, man, we can work through anything. We'll overcome anything together. Not so. That is not so when it comes to your spiritual condition. The most important decision a person will ever make in their life is to become a Christian. The second most important decision they'll ever make is who they marry, because it can affect them eternally. So this is, I think this is a great piece of advice. Again, it's from the February 1984 edition of the paper. You can actually access it on our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com, and you can read it for yourself. But I hope that this episode, a bit different, but I hope it's been helpful to you. And if you know young people who are thinking about marrying a non-Christian, let them hear this. Show them this article. I have two teenagers. One's in college and one's a junior in high school. They're going to hear this. And so use it and give biblical, strong biblical advice, and then strong advice from experience about what can happen when a Christian marries a non-Christian and the struggles that they deal with. Not only, like again, like the lady said, not only between herself and her husband, okay, now I'm pregnant. Now we're going to have kids. And as she said, they have three kids. And the struggle continues and probably gets a little more intense, in fact. So we need words of warning, words of admonition from elder Christians who have been married to Christians and from elder Christians who have been married to non-Christians and have struggled through their relationship for however many years. All right. Well, I hope that this has been an enlightening episode. It's been a bit different, but that's okay. Thanks for listening today. Again, if you'd like to subscribe to our paper, visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com. Let us know what we can do for you. Subscribe to our Podbean channel and share this content on social media and share it with others around you when you find it to be beneficial to yourself. Thanks again for listening today, and I'll catch you on the next episode of Fulton County Gospel News Podcast.